Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8 o'clock. We have a crash that has closed a section of Highway 50 north of 540 in Raleigh. We'll show you how to get around that closure.
Also, more breaking news. Crime scene tape surrounds a neighborhood in Rocky Mount. Michael Grace is with the WRAL Breaking News Tracker working to get new information.
And breaking overnight, two separate motorcycle crashes on the Raleigh Beltline within minutes of each other. What we're learning about both as police confirm one death.
And our temperatures are much warmer this morning than they were this time yesterday. We are on our way to 80s this afternoon. I'll show you how quickly we'll get there.
We're on our way in just 30 minutes to get new data on the effort to control inflation in the U.S. Why economic experts say it is pushing us to even closer to a recession. Those are the possibilities being talked about. Counting down the minutes till we get some of that information here on your Wednesday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Boy, we are starting chilly again this morning. But you know what? We're going to warm up to a beautiful Wednesday. It's hump day, halfway through the week. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over Zebulon. Beautiful blue skies.
Isn't this gorgeous? Look at that. Such a pretty sight here. This is a look at the historic town hall in Zebulon and this beautiful yard that they have there. I just want to take off my shoes and run around in it, don't you? 49 is our current temperature. The southwesterly wind helped to bump up our temperatures yesterday into the mid-70s and will continue to see that climb to around 80 this afternoon. Right now it's 54 in Southern Pines, 51 in Fayetteville, 51 in Rocky Mount, 55 degrees in South Hill. Up in Roxborough, we're looking at temperatures in the mid-40s, and it's a wide range in our difference. So we're looking at anywhere from 7 to 8 to as much as 10 to 15 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. Lovely at lunchtime, 73 degrees, perfect for eating your lunch outside if you have that opportunity. We climb to 80 for the high at around 4 or 5 o'clock. But it stays nice and mild through the evening. If you don't have a chance to get outside until after work at 7 o'clock, we're still looking at temperatures in the mid-70s. We are still on track for some rain over the weekend. I'll show you when it starts. Coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02 right now, and we've been following breaking news in North Raleigh this morning. A crash on Creedmoor Road or Highway 50 that has closed both sections, as far as we can tell, right around the Matlin Court area, which is between 540 and Norwood Road. Nye Harden just arrived on the scene. She's working to gather some more details. We'll have a live update from her in a little while. I want to show you the best alternate route right now between Norwood Road and 540. Six Forks Road, Mount Vernon Church Road back to Norwood Road, although that's going to lead to some extra delays for you just because of congestion that we're noticing on the sensors in that area on Six Forks Road and also on Mount Vernon Church Road. Just need to allow some extra time this morning and stay with us. As soon as we get contact with Nye, we'll get you an update live from the scene of that crash. We're hearing there may be several people who have been injured there. Looks like that earlier crash on Leesville Road at O'Neill Road has cleared. Traffic's flowing a lot more freely there, but we have a couple of crashes in Durham. Still monitoring this one on Roxborough Street at Delafield Avenue with some heavy delays in both directions north of I-85. Duke Street might be the best alternate route for you there this morning. Also, a report of a crash on 85 southbound right around Club Boulevard with some delays building as you come in from Butner back down toward Durham. They're not big backups, but you will run into a little bit of a slowdown in that area. Usual backups coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. Also coming in from the Knightdale area on 87 southbound with delays right around Smithfield Road. Once you get to 540, though, traffic's flowing freely.
Brian, thanks. We're also tracking breaking news out of Rocky Mount, where police are investigating an overnight shooting. It happened on Amos Street after 11 p.m. Officers cleared the scene just after 4 a.m. Michael Grace was there in the overnight hours in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker.
Well, what we know so far, police say one person was shot and was taken to the hospital. I'm still working with them to find out what their condition is at this time. I also asked police if they have a suspect in custody at this time. They told me that part is still developing. WRAL was the only crew on scene, and this is what it looked like at around 2:30 in the morning. And the first thing that jumps out to you is just the number of evidence markers right there in the street. There was evidence markers in the grass. In fact, I counted over 20 of them, and this caused investigators to be very thorough in their search, even searching in a trash can at one point. So they did their final comb through at around 4:20 this morning, and they are going to continue this investigation even though that scene has been cleared. Again, still working with police to get an update on that person who was shot and find out if they have anyone in custody at this time. In Rocky Mount, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
And more breaking news. Two motorcycle crashes on the Raleigh Beltline leave one person dead and another facing charges. We are working to learn if they are connected. We start with a deadly crash on I-440. Troopers spent hours at that scene near Wake Forest Road, only clearing out after 1 o'clock this morning. And WRAL's Laura Levine is in Raleigh with what we've learned about that crash overnight. Laura.
Michelle, good morning. Yes, this morning, State Highway Patrol has confirmed the name of that motorcycle driver who died in the crash. His name is Sean Leisure from Raleigh. And we're still working to learn more information about what led up to this crash. Get a look at some of that video from overnight where you can see the response from emergency crews on the scene. Our crews there did see the motorcycle that crashed, and it was heavily damaged. This happened on the westbound lanes of I-440 near the Wake Forest exit around 11 p.m. Troopers say the motorcyclist hit a guardrail, and I-440 was shut down for a few hours. And that portion of the interstate has reopened, as you've mentioned, and we are going to continue to stay on top of this story. Whatever new information we get, we'll be sure to bring it on and pass it along to you. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
And we also want to get you back to Nia Harden, who is at the scene of a crash on Creedmoor Road right now. Nia, what can you tell us from there?
Well, the trooper giving me a lot of information right now to unpack on you. So I'm going to do this as I show you what we're taking a look at here. As many of these vehicles are being towed away, we're talking about 5 vehicles in total involved. This all because trooper tells me a 21-year-old man driving insane, he says, on this road heading northbound had caused this. So this was when he was heading northbound. We're told he had hit one white truck head on. That truck then goes off the road, clipping a black Nissan. Then that same driver hitting an Acura head on spins out. A Honda then was hit. Then the Honda hits the blue Pontiac, catches fire. And we're being told now that the driver, after all of that, was able to still talk and speak to the trooper, telling the trooper that he had admitted to drinking alcohol. And so they believe that, again, this driver was possibly impaired. A lot of pieces that they are still working to put together here. I am told, thankfully, that those injured are at the hospital right now, but they do not have life-threatening injuries. The trooper telling me this road is a very dangerous road. He said Creedmoor Road is a long, narrow road, and that has always been one of the concerns about it. It's very hard once you are coming to an accident, possibly, to be able to find your way to get out of it. Again, some good news, though, thankfully, that those injuries are not life-threatening. Back to you.
All right, Nia, thanks for that. In just 30 minutes, we will get a clearer picture of where inflation stands as our nation's central bank weighs yet another possible interest rate hike. The consumer price index for March will show where gas prices stand, things like groceries as well, and other day-to-day items. Economists think today's report will show inflation is slowing down from last month, but not enough. Most believe it'll signal to the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates for a 10th consecutive session in an effort to get inflation under control. The Fed is set to make a decision on interest rates next month.
Happening today, leaders at Wake County Public Schools will get their first look at feedback on a plan to change the bell schedule. The district's Student Achievement Committee will look at the results of a survey on changing school start times. One option has high school starting as late as 9:15 to help students get more sleep. Students, parents, and staff appear to favor pushing back the start times for middle and high schools, but shared concerns about after-school activities and work schedules. No decision will be made on this until at least next year.
Pay raises are a priority for the Wake County Public School Superintendent. Katie Moore released her proposed budget for the upcoming school year. It's her last one before retiring this summer. Moore's plan totals more than $2 billion, and it includes $55 million more for employee raises than it did last year. Non-certified staff, like bus drivers, would get a minimum wage of $17 an hour. But parents shared concern about one missing item: security improvements.
Safety protocols should be at the forefront of the annual budget. Children are the most important thing, and we have to protect them.
The Board of Education did approve a new visitor management system last night, which would provide a quick background check for anyone visiting schools. The board hopes to approve the budget by May 2nd.
And another note for families at Wake County Public Schools, the traditional calendar will not be changing in 2024. The school board approved calendars for the year last night and kept the first day of school at August 27th. They were considering pushing up that day to August 7th, which is earlier than state law allows. The board will revisit the option if that changes.
This morning, police are asking witnesses to come forward after an FBI agent shot and killed a man at an Apex shopping center. Officers cleared the scene at the Academy Sports location off U.S. 64 just after 10 o'clock last night. They were on that scene more than 9 hours. Police say the FBI agent confronted a man and a woman accused of stealing ammunition from the store. At some point, the agent fired, killing that man. Now, our team that was there saw a gun on the ground, and we're told it belonged to the man who was shot. Investigators say witnesses will be crucial to figuring out what happened. 10 after 8 right now on your Wednesday. Coming up, the changes that police chiefs in Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill are gathering to support today aimed at women in law enforcement.
And crews are battling a massive wildfire in New Jersey. We have the newest update on how much of the fire has been contained.
And it's a pretty start out there this morning with sunshine, which is going to bring us into the 80s the next couple of days. But I'm still tracking two systems that are going to bring us rain for the sixth weekend in a row. I'll show you the timeline and which day looks the wettest.
Just coming up on 8:14 on your Wednesday morning. This is a live look over beautiful Apex, gorgeous blue skies. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. That is a pretty view, but Elizabeth Gardner has an even prettier one. Elizabeth, this is a really popular time to come to the Azalea Gardens. The weather is nice. It's beautiful. The flowers are in bloom.
So gorgeous. We always have something in bloom in the gardens, but of course, the azaleas are the big, of course, attraction. And some of the azaleas are already past bloom, but there's still plenty of them that are blooming out there. It's a great time to come. Today and tomorrow are going to be beautiful days in the gardens. And of course, they're open to the public. We always appreciate visitors in the gardens from sun up to sundown. Let's take a look at the weekend. Of course, that's the big thing that a lot of folks are thinking about, and we are back into some rain. It looks like Friday is going to be the wettest day. We're going to see waves of rain all on and off. We'll walk through that. We drop the temperature for tomorrow or for Friday a little bit more because the confidence in the fact that it's going to rain starting during the morning commute all the way through the evening is really starting to climb. Now the models are coming into better agreement. So went ahead and dropped the temperature to 74. We'll keep watching that. Don't be surprised if maybe we drop it a little bit more as we get closer. The models are trying to cool us off on Friday because of that rain. Now Saturday, it looks like we'll have a lesser chance for rain. And then Sunday, another system comes in, and we're watching the timing for that. It's likely to be afternoon, maybe even toward dinner time, depending on what time that front arrives. So we'll be watching that closely as we get more model runs in between now and Sunday. This is a look at the system that comes in on Friday. It's a low that's developing down here in the Gulf of Mexico. This is a look at 7:45 Friday morning. You can see some showers from Fayetteville back up towards, say, Siler City. And these waves of rain are just going to continue to lift northward. So there's 10 o'clock. We're seeing a good bit of rain from the triangle area southward and southwest. That band will continue to lift northward. There's lunchtime, and we'll just see, again, waves that come through during the day on Friday. This is a look at the big picture of that system, the big low-pressure system that'll be pulling up through the Gulf of Mexico and really kind of moving across the mountains of North Carolina. There's 8 a.m., and you can see at 5 p.m., there's still rain. But by Saturday morning at 8 a.m., that starts to lift northward and away from us. There may be enough lingering moisture for a few isolated showers on Saturday, but tomorrow we'll have our high resolution models. They don't go out but about 72 hours. So by tomorrow, we'll be able to take a much closer, more high resolution look at Saturday. So we'll show you that tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it's dry in the morning, but in the afternoon and evening, we see showers and possibly thunderstorms that move through. Friday, Saturday, Sunday combined, we'll likely see an average of half an inch to an inch of rain. So we'll see another pretty good soaking over the weekend. 60% chance Friday, 30% Saturday. Right now, 40% chance on Sunday. We still have some leftover flooding issues from last weekend. We're looking at minor flooding in Tarboro right now until Saturday morning. And then here in Seven Springs on the Neuse River, minor flooding again. That's likely to continue for another day or so. Our pollen counts are high for trees and grasses right now. And I guess the one benefit of having some showers this time of year is it does tend to drop our pollen counts a little bit. After a warm day Sunday at 84, we're cooler on Monday at 72. Brian?
8:17 as we continue to follow this breaking news. news in the northern part of Raleigh with that crash on Highway 50 that has closed the road in both directions right around Matlin Court. Naya Harden live on the scene there gathering new details. And Naya, what kind of progress are they making in getting this cleared up?
Well, they're doing their best to get these vehicles out of the way, but these tow trucks, they are having a time, I would say, trying to get all this up. You have a lot of debris here. You also have to think about the damage to the vehicles. Wheels are off now, and we are seeing doors that are off of these vehicles. Airbags were deployed in many of these vehicles. What I have seen here is really just something that a lot of the drivers involved are thankful, I'm sure, to come out of, because we are talking two head-on crashes that were involved in all of this, all because of a driver, a 21-year-old male, according to troopers, that was driving a blue Pontiac heading northbound that caused all of this. They say the 21-year-old hit a white truck head-on. The truck goes off the road, clipping a black Nissan, and then that Pontiac hits an Acura head-on as it spins out. Honda then hits the blue Pontiac the 21-year-old was driving, and then the 21-year-old's vehicle catches fire. Troopers say the 21-year-old male, his speech was slurred. They say that he admitted to drinking alcohol. There are five people currently in the hospital, I'm being told. None of them have life-threatening injuries, so that's some good news there. But again, this is going to take some time for them to clean up. And as they do, they're trying to get it out as quickly as possible. It looks like I'm seeing ahead what you can't see right now, at least two of those vehicles being towed off right now. Brian, I know you've been talking about people, how to get around this.
Yeah, thanks for that live update, Naya. And we'll talk about the best alternate route right now to get between Norwood Road and 540, Six Forks to Mount Vernon Church Road, then back to Norwood Road. Look out for some heavy delays, though, on Six Forks and Mount Vernon Church Road, trying to get around that. We head over to Durham, where we have a couple of crashes we're watching. One on Roxborough Street at Delafield Avenue. Heavy delays in both directions of Roxborough Street between Carver and I-85. You might consider using Duke Street as a good alternate route. It looks like that earlier crash around 685 southbound at Club Boulevard has started to clear up a little bit of a lingering delay coming in from Red Mill Road back down toward Club Boulevard. Elsewhere around the triangle, no other big problems that we're tracking right now, just the usual delays on 40 westbound heading into Garner.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, we want to take you to these live pictures coming in from Belfast, Northern Ireland. That's President Biden. He just wrapped up a keynote speech at Ulster University there in Belfast. The main theme of this speech really focused on the 25th anniversary of that Good Friday Agreement that brought peace to Northern Ireland after long years of conflict in Northern Ireland. Of course, that's the reason he's in Northern Ireland for this trip, to celebrate that 25th anniversary. This speech also coming after the president met this morning with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. This is his first full day. The president will be visiting Northern Ireland, of course, his ancestral home. The president's family immigrated from Northern Ireland back in the 1800s.
Ken, thanks for that. Proof there is punishment for this. This morning, a student is facing charges linked to the threats at Lee County High School. The sheriff's office says it's filed juvenile petitions on six counts of communicating threats of mass violence and one count for a threat against a school resource officer. Deputies say the student called in a bomb threat to Lee County High School yesterday, prompting a lockdown. They think the same student is also responsible for threats dating back to last month. The student's name has not been released because of that person's age.
And we're learning more about the moment a Harnett County deputy crashed into a car, killing two people. It happened last month. Highway Patrol just released a report showing the deputy was driving 95 miles an hour, chasing a suspect with his sirens on. The suspect drove through an intersection. The deputy followed and crashed into another car, killing the six-year-old couple inside. The deputy was taken to the hospital, but later released.
Brittany Griner will tell the story of her Russian detainment in a new memoir. The WNBA star's book is expected to come out next spring. Griner spent 10 months in Russian custody after being sentenced to prison for having cannabis oil in her luggage. She was sentenced to 9 years, but was released in a prisoner swap in December.
New Jersey firefighters are battling this massive forest fire. It's reached 500 acres in size, only 10% contained this morning. An evacuation alert was issued for residents in the area. The fire has led to road closures in that area as well.
That's amazing, the size of that fire. A small Massachusetts town is getting ready for its annual time in the spotlight. Hopkinton, Massachusetts, the home of the starting line for Monday's Boston Marathon. Scores of people are working hard to get that event off to a smooth start. The starting line itself will be painted this morning. Crews were busy on Tuesday assembling equipment and stages for the starting area and Athletes Village. All that work is set to pay off on Monday when they step foot right at the starting line. Mm-hmm. I did that once, you know.
Did you?
Hopkinton, I did. Hopkinton is a town of, I don't know, 10 or 15,000. But on that day, it's a town of like 40,000 with all those people
50,
right at the starting line.
Right,
yes.
Right.
One lap around the Boston Marathon for me.
Listen, it counts.
Yeah, it does. Heck yeah.
I can't do it. Maybe half the lap, and then I'd be like, all right, I'm done.
You'd be fine. Catch a ride from there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, taking a live look in Indiana this morning, where thousands of people are being forced out of their homes as toxic smoke grows overhead. What investigators say is likely the source of this fire that has an entire community on alert.
And we're following breaking news. An investigation is underway after a person was shot in Rocky Mount. We'll break down what we've learned overnight.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Wednesday morning time now, 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We're going to start with Brian Schrader. He's tracking a number of crashes in the area, Brian.
Breaking news on the north side of Raleigh. That earlier crash at Highway 50 around Matlin Court has now cleared. I want to take you to live pictures. Just moments ago, they were able to reopen both directions of Highway 50 out there. That is a crash that involved some injuries. We'll get an update for you coming up at 8:30 as we continue our news on Fox 50. Back to the map here. If you want to avoid that area altogether, we could see some lingering delays. Consider using Six Forks, Mount Vernon, and Norwood roads as good alternate routes. Also, in Durham, watch for a crash on Roxborough Street around Delafield Avenue with some pretty heavy delays, especially on that northbound side heading away from 85. Consider using Duke Street as a good alternate route. Elizabeth?
That's looking pretty in Wilson this morning and all across the viewing area with lots of sunshine. Just a little bit of a breeze. The whirligigs are spinning a little bit. That wind is coming out of the southwest today, which is going to bump us on up to 80 this afternoon. Right now it is 51 in Fayetteville, 54 in Lewisburg, still a cool 47 in Irwin, but our temperatures are on their way up. Let's go play with the puppies this afternoon. 73 at lunchtime, 80 degrees this afternoon with sunny skies.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. We're tracking some breaking news in Rocky Mount. A person is in the hospital after being shot overnight. It happened on Amos Street after 11 p.m. No word yet on the victim's condition or if any suspects are in custody. And a deadly crash overnight on I-440. Troopers spent hours at the scene near Wake Forest Road, only clearing out after 1 o'clock this morning. A motorcyclist died after hitting a guardrail on the interstate. Coming up next on Fox 50, how parents, students, and staff at Wake County Public Schools feel about pushing back the start of class as late as 9:15. Join us on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news right now at 8:30. Crime scene tape surrounds a neighborhood in Rocky Mount. Michael Grace is with a WRAL breaking news tracker working to get new information.
And our temperatures are feeling pleasantly cool this morning, warmer than this time yesterday. I'll show you how much warmer it will be this afternoon.
Also, parents, students, and staff are weighing in on a potentially huge change to their bell schedule in Wake County Public Schools. How they feel about pushing back the start of class as late as 9:15. High school students, that'd be about 2 hours difference depending on the school.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for joining us right now. Hands off that snooze button. It's over. It's time to face your Wednesday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. It's 8:30. It's time to get out of bed. Where was this 9:15 start time when I was in high school? Because we didn't have that. I was up at 6:30. I was in school by 7:20. Bell rang. That was it.
Walked uphill both ways.
Yeah.
That was back when it
used to snow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all the time.
Exactly.
That's right. Things have changed. I know my kids would love to go to that 9:15 bell schedule, that's for sure. Taking a look at Warrenton this morning. Looking beautiful. Lots of blue sky, a little bit of high, thin cloud cover, but nothing stopping us from having an absolutely beautiful day. The southwesterly wind started to bring us warmer temperatures yesterday. That continues for the next couple of days. It's 49 degrees right now around Durham and Raleigh. At Rocky Mount is 51, 54 in Southern Pines and 50 in Roxborough. We dropped down into the mid-40s just briefly this morning, and we've started that warming process. And it's going to be a quick one. We'll jump into the low 70s at lunchtime. We'll see a high of 80 late afternoon. And then if you don't have a chance to get outside until this evening, it's still going to be nice. 7 o'clock, still looking at 74 degrees. I'm still looking at the potential for some rain over the weekend. I'll walk you through it. Coming up, Brian.
We've been following breaking news in the north part of Raleigh this morning with a crash on Highway 50 just north of the 540 interchange that created some pretty big problems. They have just reopened the road in the past few minutes. Want to go out there live and check in with WRL's Naya Harden at the scene. Naya, this was a big scene out there for a little while.
It was, and you can still see some of the mess that's left behind. I see some debris still on the ground, and you can see some tire tracks, too, as well, leading up to these trees here. This, as we're told, a total of 5 vehicles were involved in this, 5 injuries, 5 people being taken to the hospital. Thankfully, they don't have any life-threatening injuries, is what we're being told. But this all started with a 21-year-old man, troopers say, that was driving a blue Pontiac when he was heading northbound. He hit 2 vehicles head on. The driver's car caught fire, and 2 other vehicles were involved in the crash. Now, troopers say that 21-year-old's speech was slurred and that he admitted to them that he had been drinking alcohol. They're still investigating all of that and will continue to keep us updated. Brian, back to you.
All right, Naya, thanks for that update. We are still seeing some lingering delays as people took alternate routes to avoid that mess out there. The southbound side of Highway 50 through Norwood Road still pretty slow. Also, Six Forks Road around Mount Vernon Church Road, that intersection pretty backed up right now. Take a while to get things worked out through there. Also, still tracking this crash in Durham on the north side of Durham, Roxborough Street around Delafield Avenue. On that northbound side of Roxborough, heavy delays coming in from I-85. You might consider using Duke Street as a better alternate route.
All right, thank you, Brian. We're tracking some breaking news out of Rocky Mount this morning. Police are investigating an overnight shooting. It happened on Amos Street after 11 p.m. Officers cleared the scene just after 4 a.m. Michael Grace was at that scene overnight in the WRL Breaking News Tracker and has more.
Well, what we know so far, police say one person was shot and was taken to the hospital. I'm still working with them to find out what their condition is at this time. I also asked police if they have a suspect in custody at this time. They told me that part is still developing. WRAL was the only crew on scene, and this is what it looked like at around 2:30 in the morning. And the first thing that jumps out to you is just the number of evidence markers right there in the street. There was evidence markers in the grass. In fact, I counted over 20 of them, and this caused investigators to be very thorough in their search, even searching in a trash can at one point. So they did their final comb through at around 4:20 this morning, and they are going to continue this investigation even though that scene has been cleared. Again, still working with police to get an update on that person who was shot and find out if they have anyone in custody at this time. In Rocky Mount, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
2 motorcycle crashes on the Raleigh Beltline have left one person dead and another facing charges. We're working to learn if these 2 incidents are connected. We start with the deadly crash on I-440, where troopers spent hours at the scene near Wake Forest Road, cleared out after 1 o'clock this morning. And WRL's Laura Levine explains what we learned about this crash overnight.
This morning, the State Highway Patrol here has confirmed the name of the motorcycle driver as Sean Lazier from Raleigh. We are still working to learn more information about what led up to that crash. Get a look at some of this video from overnight from the scene. You can really see all of the emergency crews responding there. And our crews on the scene saw the motorcycle that crashed, very heavily damaged. This happened on the westbound lanes of I-440 near the Wake Forest exit around 11 p.m. Troopers say the motorcyclist hit a guardrail, and I-440 was shut down for several hours. That portion of the interstate reopened around 1 o'clock this morning. We are still working to get more information on this crash, and we will be sure to bring that to you on air and online. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Also, just around the same time as that crash, troopers arrested a motorcyclist after a chase. They say the driver was doing 80 in a 30-mile-per-hour zone near the Carolina Country Club. Troopers say they chased that motorcyclist along Glenwood Avenue until the driver lost control and crashed right near the on-ramp onto I-440. That person faces charges of reckless driving.
Happening today, leaders at Wake County Public Schools will get their first look at feedback on a plan to change the bell schedule. The district Student Achievement Committee will look at the results of a survey on changing school start times. One option has high school starting as late as 9:15 to help students get more sleep. Students, parents, and staff appear to favor pushing back the start times for middle and high schools, but shared concerns about after-school activities and work schedules. No decisions will be made on this until at least next year.
This morning, police are asking for witnesses to come forward after an FBI agent shot and killed a man at an Apex shopping center. Officers cleared the scene at the Academy Sports location off U.S. 64 just after 10 o'clock last night. They spent more than 9 hours on the scene. Police say the FBI agent confronted a man and woman accused of stealing ammunition from that store. At some point, the agent fired, killing the man. Our team on the ground there saw a gun laying right there on the ground. And we're told it belonged to the man who was shot. Investigators say witnesses will be crucial to figuring out what happened.
And of course, we would caution if anybody, you know, was there that did see anything that left before we were able to get there, talk with them. We would definitely ask them to reach out to us. But there were some people in the parking lot. You know, I don't know what they saw, what they didn't see.
The FBI agent was on duty at the time, and investigators have not released the agent's name or the name of the man who died.
The city of Louisville will hold a prayer vigil tonight, 2 days after a gunman killed five people at a downtown bank. A memorial is growing outside the bank where that shooting happened Monday morning. Louisville's mayor says tonight's vigil will be a chance to reflect on what happened and remember those victims. In addition to the five people who died, three others remain in the hospital in critical condition. And body cam video released by Louisville police is showing us the moments first responders arrived at the scene of that shooting. We want to warn you, the video is disturbing.
Stop. Stop right here. Back up, back up, back up, back up.
The video from Officer Nicholas Wilt shows officers approaching the bank as gunfire can be heard in the background. Wilt was shot in the head and is in critical condition. He was sworn in just 2 weeks ago. The gunman was an employee at the bank, and officials say he legally purchased the AR-15-style rifle that was used in the shooting at a local dealership. Time now, 8:38. Coming up, we explain what's in and what's out as Wake County Public Schools superintendent shares her plan to spend more than $2 billion in the coming year.
And the future of law enforcement is going high-tech. Just ahead, meet the newest additions to the police force and how they each use advanced technology to help officers.
And we're tracking warmer temperatures as you look live at Raleigh from Dix Park, a beautiful blue sky, when we could see rain return to your forecast. That's next.
And breaking here in the WREL Live Center, the Consumer Price Index report just dropped within the last 5 minutes. You see the headlines right now on CNBC, the March inflation report, just showing that it eased just a bit, coming in less than expected. It still remains high, but the March numbers are showing that, according to the CPI report, that those numbers are easing a bit. Of course, the Consumer Price Index shows where prices stand for gas, groceries, and other day-to-day items. Of course, it's having an impact on the Dow this morning, up 200 points, according to the CNBC. Now, this is a key metric that the Federal Reserve will use when it meets next month on May 2nd to determine if yet another rate hike. It will be the 10th consecutive rate hike. If that happens, it will determine if that's necessary or, because it came in less than expected, quite possibly the Federal Reserve might hold the line on another rate hike. We'll have to see on May 2nd. Jeff.
Yeah, pretty delicate give and take there. Here we are, 8:43 right now. Elizabeth Gardner's in the WRO Severe Weather Center, and those blue skies, beautiful temps on the way up here. We're going to enjoy the next 48 hours or so, right?
Absolutely. Tea times may be hard to get in some places, I mean, especially here in Pinehurst, but in other places as well. This beautiful weather, we've got gorgeous conditions out there for today and tomorrow. We do get into the weekend with a chance of some showers, and we'll talk about that coming up in a minute. 49 degrees in the Triangle right now. We're going to climb to 73 at lunchtime, and our high will be 80 degrees this afternoon. The thing about it is the humidity is going to stay low today, so even at 80 degrees, it's going to feel very pleasant and the perfect night to head out to a Durham Bulls game. They have a homestand all the way through the weekend. This evening, as they throw out the first pitch, 77 degrees, 78 on Thursday at 6:35. So just beautiful weather. Our normal high temperature is 71. We'll hit 80 today in Raleigh, Durham, and in Fayetteville. We have a southwesterly wind that started to kick in yesterday and brought us to 75. So yesterday we were a little above normal at 73 on Thursday. We did drop the temperature on Friday. It continues to look more and more likely that we're going to see rain for much of the day on Friday. It's likely to come through in waves. It may not rain the entire day. But we're going to see some waves of rain that come through starting around the time of the morning commute. So we may have to drop that number a little bit more. We'll continue to watch the information that we get between now and Friday. On Saturday, 78. Saturday is looking a little drier than Friday. And then Sunday, it's a completely different system. It's going to be a cold front that approaches from the west. We're watching the timing for that. It could be early afternoon or evening before that comes in. Again, we have a lot of information that will come in between now and Sunday, so keep checking back the timing of that. 84 on Sunday, though, so we're looking at definitely a warming trend as we get into the second half of the weekend. Right now, our dew point's way down at 40, so it feels refreshing. We have a very dry, comfortable air mass in place. But by Sunday, it's going to be back up to almost 65, so steamy. So temperatures will be in the mid-80s on Sunday, and that dew point's going to be at 64. So those dew points in the 60s aren't as high as we see sometimes during the middle of the summer when it can be approaching 70, but it's a far cry from what we're seeing today and tomorrow. So today and tomorrow are going to feel really lovely. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday feeling a little bit sticky. Of course, Friday it's going to rain also. We have that warmth that, of course, comes pushing in. You can see the color contours there in the yellows and the oranges across much of the central and eastern part of the country. As we get into early next week, we get a push of some slightly cooler air, but for the most part, it should stay just above normal for the week of April 17th through the 21st. Here's our seven-day forecast. Warm weather with dry conditions for today and tomorrow. Friday, it's going to be wet on and off, and Saturday looks a little drier. Sunday, we could see a round of thunderstorms late in the day, and then it's quiet to start next week.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. New this morning, a man linked to a shooting in Rocky Mount is in custody after more than 2 weeks of searching. Brendan Bryant turned himself in yesterday and is being held in the Edgecombe County Jail without bond. Police say he's one of several people who fired shots during a fight outside a club on Northeast Main Street last month. Officers say he shot the same woman several times. At last check, she was in the hospital in serious condition. Two others were also hurt in the shootout that followed. They were listed as stable.
Two men are in the hospital this morning after an explosion at a Garner building formerly owned by the News and Observer. Town's fire chief says one of the men had burns across 80% of his body. The other suffered minor burns. The fire chief says workers were removing carpet from the floor when a chemical reaction caused a small flash fire.
And thousands of people are under evacuation orders in Indiana as this fire rages on at a plastic recycling facility there. Officials say they expect the fire to burn for days, spewing toxic smoke into the sky. This is a live look there right now. You can see that cloud still very large. The fire started in a tractor trailer yesterday afternoon and quickly spread throughout the warehouse in the city of Richmond. Officials say it's contained and crews were able to stop it from jumping to a nearby neighborhood. The evacuation order has about 2,000 people out of their homes.
The smoke is definitely toxic, and so I know we've put out an evacuation or within a half mile, I believe, is correct. What it is. And so we don't want the residents in the smoke. So as the wind changes, we may change the direction of the evacuations.
And people who live downwind of the evacuation zone are being encouraged to shelter in place and bring their pets inside.
The father of a former NFL player who shot and killed 6 people in South Carolina 2 years ago has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against South Carolina State University. Alonzo Adams says the mass shooting in Rocky Hill was caused by head trauma his son Philip Adams sustained while playing football for the university. Adams played for the Bulldogs from 2006 to 2009. Doctors posthumously discovered that Adams suffered from stage 2 CTE. The university has not commented on the case.
Students at NC State will have access to resources for mental health today. A fellow student is helping organize a resource fair in the student union this afternoon. And the event comes after at least 10 student deaths on campus this past year. Several of them were suicides. NC State recently hired 8 new counselors and expanded its telehealth program. Our teacher of the week has been in the classroom for 3 years and quickly became a favorite among students. WRAL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a Hillsborough educator who uses current events to help lessons come alive.
In Xavier Adams' freshman year of college, he got involved with a church nonprofit working with high school students. And in 2019, he decided to become a teacher.
I decided to become a teacher because I just realized one day teachers get to see students every single day. And they just have room for a really big impact on students' lives.
Adams teaches world history, African American studies, and Latin American studies at Orange High School in Hillsborough. And he says current events are a big part of what they discuss.
I enjoy hearing their thoughts as well as their reflections and how they think that we can make society advance to a better place.
Adams was named the state's beginning teacher of the year in 2022, and students say he deserved it.
On his first year here, super popular. Everyone loved him. Yep, everybody talked about him.
Adams says learning can be fun, but he holds students to high standards.
Making sure that in that process that we are holding our students to the highest standards so that they can be the best learners, the best thinkers, the best leaders that they can be, I think is a critical part of being a teacher.
Xavier Adams is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Well deserved. And you can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Strawberry season in North Carolina runs from mid-April to late May, early June. And WRAL lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with details about local farms where you can go with your family and pick them fresh yourself. Kathy, I got to believe those farms are open now, right?
They are. We've got some open right now. So we have an interactive database right now on WRL.com's family section. It has a searchable list of pick-your-own farms. Now, some are open now. Others open this weekend, like Hunt's Strawberry Farm off Watkins Road in Raleigh. They open Tuesday starting at 10 a.m. They even debuted their new pound cake and honey. They also accept cash and checks, so make sure you plan accordingly.
Now, not all of these farms, I got to believe, are open daily, right? But how can people find out which ones are?
Okay, so it's really important that you check social media. So we can go on our list and you can select the social media for the farm you want to go to. Berries are not always ripe yet. Like Page Farms in Raleigh, they had to close yesterday to allow the berries to ripen. They're hoping to open again today. And Knightdale Pope's Strawberry Farm is also open, but monitor their social media. They might not have the pre-picked berries available.
That is partly due, I imagine, to our weather. It's been up and down kind of crazy for this. What about the best way to pick a strawberry?
That's why I brought strawberries with me, not just so we can eat them later. But also, like, you want to make sure when you're picking them, you want to hold the stem, twist the cap on the berries. You want to help to keep that little green cap on the top. You want to clean them with water and baking soda. You can do 4 cups of water, 1 teaspoon baking soda for about 5 minutes, and then rinse them under cool water. Then put them in the refrigerator. They will last longer that way.
All right, great ideas there. To see the full list of farms where you can go, go to WRAL.com and search keyword family for more on this family-friendly event. Just go to WRAL.com. Go ask mom. That's the place. Kathy, thank you.
Police in New York City are going high-tech when it comes to security. Check this out. Officers just unveiled 3 new robots that will be deployed as part of a pilot program. Each of them has special tools. The DigiDog is remote-controlled and will be used for hostage negotiations and more. One of their other robots uses artificial intelligence to give real-time info to police. And the last one can shoot a GPS at a car or truck to help officers track it.
Wow. See, spot. Catch criminals.
Yeah.
A Chapel Hill business is celebrating 100 years today and offering a gift to its customers. Sutton's Drug Stores served the community since 1923. Today, they'll offer their first 100 customers a free birthday T-shirt. There are also hot dogs for a buck. The deal runs from 11 to 2 today.
Happy birthday. And a big pharma company will move into a historic building in downtown Raleigh. You might remember the old Father and Son Antiques location on Harrogate Street. Well, this is what it looks like now since the business moved. Soon, the building will look like this when Pro Pharma moves in. It'll be the site of their new global headquarters. Hundreds of employees will work there, along with another 100 new jobs. We'll be right back.